Good afternoon and welcome to the Alameda County Board of Supervisors Personnel Administration and Legislation Committee meeting for Monday, October the 27th, 2025. May I have roll call, please?
Supervisor Fortunato Bass.
Present.
Supervisor Tam.
Present. Thank you. Are there any instructions that you need to go over in terms of participation?
For in-person participation, the meeting site is open to the public. If you'd like to speak on an item, you can fill out a speaker's card in the front of the room and hand it to the clerk. For remote participation, follow the teleconferencing guidelines posted and use the raise your hand function for speaking.
Thank you. We will start with the federal legislation update from CJ Lake.
Good afternoon, Supervisor. You have Emily Baque de Silva here and John Assini as well. I wish we had more of an update than what we've been reporting the last few weeks. I mean, and I know Tom will hop in at some point, but, you know, we're day 27 of the shutdown. The House is still in recess, subject to a 48-hour call. As we've been reporting, Speaker Johnson has continued to say the House has done its work. It's up to the Senate. The Senate, we keep seeing the same vote over and over again. Last week, Majority Leader Thune did call a vote on a bill that would pay federal workers. And I think we discussed this at the PAL meeting last Monday. It did end up pulling off the two Democrats from Georgia. I think some of that is air traffic control at Atlanta. And John Ossoff is in a really tough race. One of the big changes today that happened this morning that could move the needle, I know we've been talking about what may move the needle, is that AFGE, the Union for Federal Workers, came out with a statement basically saying it's time to pass a clean continuing resolution. To what end? You know, that may put pressure on Senate Democrats, on some of those moderates and the retiring members that John and I have talked about. But up until now, you know, nothing has really moved the needle. We've talked about SNAP. We've talked about WIC. John, I don't know if you have kind of anything else to mention. I mean, it's kind of the same state of play as last Monday.
Not too much. The same state of play for sure. The two things that I will mention is that in conversations with folks at the White House, they have indicated their hope to break the shutdown record. So right now, the shutdown record was set by the previous Trump administration at 34 days. So it is possible that the White House will try to make it to at least 35 days of a total government shutdown. Now, that is different because last time that it was shut down for 34 days, it was a partial government shutdown with the defense and labor age bills already passed. We are facing a number of pay cliffs this go around. The military is set to miss their first paycheck in this regard on Friday. And I believe TSA is also going to miss a paycheck sometime this week. And then in addition to that, President Trump is in Asia all of this week for a number of bilateral meetings, which is important because any sort of deal that is reached in Congress is going to need the express sign off of the president, not even just the White House, but the president himself, largely because Speaker Johnson has ceded his authority in this negotiation to the White House. So Senate Democrats are hesitant to come up with a plan or even attempt to come up with a plan, knowing full well that no deal can be reached without Trump's direct involvement. As we've stated in previous weeks, and this remains to be true right now, the president largely seems to be absent from negotiations and does not seem terribly interested in reopening the government. In that regard, the November 1 deadline is quickly coming. which means that SNAP benefits are likely to be delayed. As we've covered in previous weeks, the Trump administration does not have any intention on releasing any of the contingency funds that USDA has in its stores. So we will see likely a benefit delay in SNAP, which is going to cause considerable difficulty for beneficiaries. Well, are ever hopeful that they will come up with some sort of agreement, but it does not seem likely this week.
And real quick, the other thing I would note, we keep talking about this. I mean, they keep bringing up this continuing resolution that the House passed, and it runs through November 21st. And so we are getting closer and closer to November 21st. And so the idea is we're going to need another continuing resolution. So I think when a deal is reached, and again, Tom can talk about this, but I think, the House Republicans will end up putting together some sort of CR that goes beyond November 21st. And so the talk is, does it go to the end of the calendar year? Does it go to some point early next year? I think that remains to be seen, but this November 21st kind of artificial deadline that we have will not we're going to have to go beyond that simply because it's not going to be enough time for negotiations to really get underfoot in terms of finishing up FY26 bills.
Thank you. Doesn't sound like great news, but Supervisor Fortunato Bass, questions or comments?
Just one quick question, and I may have more questions after we hear from Rep. Simon's office. Can you remind me what the status is of WIC and how long that is funded?
John, correct me if I'm wrong. I don't think we have a clear picture on how long it will be funded. We just know that they're using tariff revenues to currently keep the program funded. Is that accurate?
Currently, the to Emily's point, currently the administration is using tariff funding to support the WIC program. Unlike the SNAP program, it does not have a contingency fund that's as robust, so the funding is a lot less predictable than the SNAP funding pots are. So this has enabled the Trump administration to turn the spigot on or off basically at will, and they have not been forthcoming in how much money is in the accounts for WIC. Beneficiaries have continued to receive payments, but it's not as transparent or predictable as I think a lot of folks would have hoped. So it's just a very sort of unpredictable situation for that program.
Thank you. And actually, one more question. In terms of SNAP, do we know how much money is available with the USDA if the federal government were to release some funding to keep it going beyond Saturday?
I've heard reports that somewhere between $6 and $8 billion in contingency funding for the SNAP program, which is not enough to pay total benefits or complete benefits for the month of November. The difficulty is if USDA does tap into that fund, which is not supposed to be used throughout the entire country all at once. They would have to pro rata the benefits to each of the individuals that receive, or each of the states that receive those benefits, which is a considerable amount of work for the administration to undergo. The FNS, Food and Nutrition Service, Assistant Administrator, actually departed today ahead of this pending cliff. So the agency that's responsible for providing those funds lacks a clear leader. So the administration is in a bit of a rough spot and has decided, as a matter of policy and also for a political purpose, to just withhold that contingency funding. They want to be able to pin the lack of SNAP benefits on Senate Democrats as a pressure point to get them to the table and accept a clean CR.
Thank you.
Thank you. Along those lines, I know that Representative Liccardo had also talked about the reserves or the USDA contingency funds. Do you know whether or not those funds were tapped into during the last time we had a shutdown? And obviously, these funds are supposed to be used for an emergency, like a natural disaster. But if it's sort of a man-made disaster, I don't know where that falls into that category.
Well, all government shutdowns are man-made disasters, that's for sure. But no, from my recollection, the SNAP contingency fund was created in the bill that reopened the government in 2019, because this was a prime concern, primarily the Democrat. I mean, everyone across the board cared about this, which is why I passed on a bipartisan basis. But the long story short is they created this contingency fund in the event of a future shutdown after the last one was reopened. So it did exist, but it didn't exist to the extent that it does now.
Okay, thank you. We will go to the update from our federal government representative, Mr. Clancy, on the government shutdown, and then call for public comments.
Great. Thank you, and good afternoon, everyone. It's a pleasure to be joining you all here today. And like Don and Emily said, I wish I had some better updates and news to report. I think, you know, by and large, what you've heard from each of them is the state of play as we know it. I don't think, you know, Democrats are certainly not involved with, at least Democrats at our level are not involved with these conversations with leadership, but it doesn't seem to me that they're really happening at all in earnest anyway. Just another thing I would note is that the ACA open enrollment begins, I believe, on November 1st, which is when, you know, families will first start to see their health insurance premiums and those numbers for 2026. They'll get sick. So that's another reason, one of the many reasons to open up the government, as well as to make some headway in these negotiations. I'd say as for our part, you know, Congresswoman Simon has been on the district over the past few weeks, if not longer since the beginning of the shutdown, meeting with mayors, local elected officials, as well as just constituents and residents in the area. We remain open and essential. So, you know, we're here to help and support and be a resource and answer any questions. Is probably the best place for me to leave it at this point. You know, with more substantive updates, I think, you know, John and Emily, if we're able to move those, I'm happy to take any questions, of course, from the office's perspective. How we can.
Okay, thank you. Supervisor Fortunato Bass.
Mr. Clancy, I definitely appreciate you coming and the collaboration with us. Congresswoman Simon, it's just unfortunate there isn't more to share in terms of movement forward. Could you just clarify whether there is any other activity happening with the House? Are the representatives still at home, or have they been called back to DC yet?
Yeah, so that's a good question. The answer is no, they have not been called back. There are no plans to legislate right now from the House's perspective. Speaker Johnson, I believe, has said repeatedly and as recently as today that the House remains on 48-hour notice to return to DC. So I think at this point the guidance is really kind of lacking. Members are typically, I would say, at least for most Democrats, have been back in their districts. Certainly true for Congresswoman. But I think, you know, it brings up a good point that I believe Emily mentioned with the CR that the House did pass expiring in about 3 weeks. There's a real need for a new CR. So I think I would hope that in the next week, maybe not this week, but perhaps next, the House can begin operating and functioning again like it should be. There's really no reason for the House to not be in DC, much like the Senate is. You know, we're still able to pass bills and work and negotiate. It seems just from a personal level, it seems very strange that, you know, the House is kind of wholly out of this equation and has decided to kind of wash their hands of their duty on keeping the government open since the bill was passed nearly a month ago.
Thank you. Are there any public comments on the federal legislative update, both from our from CJ Lake and also from Representative Latifah Simon's office?
I have no speakers for item one.
Okay. Thank you very much for that update. Let's go to the state legislative update from Full Moon Strategies.
Good afternoon, Supervisors. Jael Dentas here with Full Moon Strategies. One more deadline on the horizon. California is now just 8 days away from its November special election, where voters will decide whether to approve the new proposed U.S. congressional district maps. On the campaigns for Prop 50, the Yes side has largely outraised and outspanned its opponents with close to $97 million. More than double of the no campaign side with $42 million. This past week, we also saw that President Trump canceled a planned immigration enforcement surge in San Francisco. The move came after an intense night of a protest with demonstrators blocking the Coastal Guard Island in Alameda, where a federal agency had gathered for operation. Governor Gavin Newsom had prepared a sue over a possible National Guard deployment, while officials condemned the play as politically motivated and dangerous. On CalFresh, millions of Californians are facing uncertainty as the impacts of the federal government shutdowns ripple across the nation. Approximately 5.5 million Californians rely on the federal funded benefits. As such, CalFresh, this is a serious concern for families and communities across our state. The program plays a vital role in California's safety net, helping to reduce poverty and promote economic stability. Any delay of this case, you know, the suspension of benefits would not only impact food security and vulnerable households, but also harm local economies. The California Department of Social Services, CDSS, encourages recipients to take several important steps during this time. Individuals with remaining balances on their EBT cards from October, they can continue using those funds throughout November. For individuals not in the program yet, CDSS recommends to keep applying for CalFresh as eligible applicants will receive their benefits after federal operations resume. In response to the federal shutdown, Governor Gavin Newsom announced the deployment of the California National Guard and the California volunteers to support food banks as the federal shutdown delays food benefits for millions of families. The governor is also expecting $80 million in food bank support to help offset federal funding gaps. It's worth to mention that the National Guard will not serve in a law enforcement capacity. It will be there just to provide logistical aid. With the staff benefits at risk with the ongoing federal shutdown, the California Attorney General Rob Bonta co-led the 23 Attorneys General Coalition demanding answer from the Trump administration. In a letter mentioned earlier from our federal colleagues to USDA, the coalition raised concerns over the October 10th directive haunting November SNAP payments for over 42 million Americans. The attorneys general said that USDA has at least $6 billion in reserve funds that could cover some benefits and is demanding clarity by October 27 today. On its legal authority, available resources, and plans to restore the payments. On the state perspective, it's very important for us to note that the state ability to address the SNAP crisis right now is pretty limited. The EBT cards are programmed with the federal funds by a third-party vendor. The state is not involved on the programming of these cards at all. Jumping for some updates on Medi-Cal, in a recent report, the Legislative Analyst Office warns that California faces major Medi-Cal challenges as the new federal Medi-Cal cutbacks take effect. While the state faces a very big fiscal uncertainty. In this report, the LAO points out that the state lacks the fiscal capacity to backfill at all the loss caused by the block on the federal revenues. Billions in costs could fall into the general fund as the federal support declines. Medi-Cal is now serving over one third of California's and is exceeding $197 billion in the largest state program funded mostly by the federal government. As we are all still waiting for guidance from the federal government on this cutbacks, we're keeping communications with the county staff, and any updates coming on our way, we will ensure to share with the county. Still on Medi-Cal, we had a few conversations with the community up here in Sacramento, and it's clear that the counties will bear with the greater admin cost and the service burdens, right? Especially on the behavioral health care and the indigent care. The LAO on this last report, they urge the lawmakers to rethink the Medi-Cal structure in California, strengthen the local safety networks and safety nets, and to revisit some of the policies such as the California healthcare coverage penalty. Without any strategies or funding sources, the report concludes that more Californians will lose coverage or face a higher out-of-pocket costs to access healthcare. With that, I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you so much for that update. Supervisor Fortunato Bass.
Thank you. So my office has been working very closely with our food bank and regarding the National Guard and the Cal Volunteers, my understanding is that they are not going to be requesting that assistance. A lot of it, especially on the heels of last week's potential ICE and Border Patrol surge, is about security and whether or not that would cause some issues with people feeling comfortable coming to the food bank. I would also like to have a little bit more clarity, if it exists, on the $80 million from the state to our food banks. My understanding is that that money was already allocated in the budget, so it's not necessarily additional funding. It's sort of an advance of funding that's already approved. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct, Supervisor. We are also in touch with the department just to get more clarity on the spending. And hopefully by today or tomorrow, we will have a clear guidance to share with the county. But your information is correct.
Okay, so my understanding is given the imminence of Saturday's deadline, the food bank is procuring more food and working with SSA to ensure, you know, more distribution as well as home delivery. Is there anyone here from SSA who could speak to a little bit more of what's happening on the ground and what the plans are leading up to Saturday? Oh, there is somebody.
Good afternoon.
With their hand raised. Okay.
Hey, can you all hear me?
Yes.
Okay, thank you very much. Good afternoon. This is Caroline Burrows from the Alameda County Social Services Agency to provide a little bit of an update. So Social Services is exploring a collaboration with the food bank for food distribution pop-ups at our offices. We are in this effort to hopefully mitigate some of the negative impacts from the federal government shutdown and the delay in November CalFresh benefits, as we've heard in these presentations. The food bank will be conducting site visits to our offices today, October 27th, and tomorrow, October 28th. To assess the spaces, to determine the feasibility and the best method and setup for food distribution. These site visits will be conducted at our offices in Hayward, Enterprise, North Oakland, and Eastmont. The services, the food distribution services, however, will be extended countywide. Livermore and Fremont included. That concludes my report out at this time. Happy to take any questions back.
Just one more question. I know that the food bank also has a webpage that is assisting with people who need food now and taking input in terms of people who are seeking home delivery. I know there's a big request, an increase in requests for home delivery to our staff from SSA. Do you have any more information on how potential home delivery will work?
I do not have any information at this time, but I'm happy to bring it back and follow up.
Jessica?
Thank you. Just following up on some of those updates, I know that the social service agency director had sent out an email last week about partnering with the food bank, both for distribution and delivery. And so they're also, she also mentioned that the food bank expressed some concern regarding security at these sites. Do you know what the issues are around security? And is that something that the National Guard can help out with? I mean, the California National Guard.
Yes. I'm not aware of these concerns, but as I said, we're in contact with the food banks right now and with the agencies just to get more clarity. But I'm happy just to circle back with this question with them, Supervisor, and a return to you.
Okay, that's helpful. I understand the concerns regarding some of the immigration surges that we had last week, but this one seemed like it was more about securing the site rather than trying to create any sort of additional concerns with our immigrant community, right? Okay, thank you. I don't have any other questions. Are there any public comments?
Jessica, do you have a comment?
Hi, yeah, sorry, I think I muted myself. I think you could hear me now.
Yes.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. This is Jessica Montes, Government Affairs Officer with the Food Bank, actually. Thank you, Caroline, for providing that overview. So I was part of those conversations last week with SSA. So we're providing or we're visiting two sites today and tomorrow to hopefully get this running starting next week already. In terms of security, I believe it was Supervisor Tim or maybe Supervisor Nikki that mentioned about security. And that's correct. What we meant about regarding security was something that SSA actually brought up. And basically the overview is that that's going to depend on the sites, I believe. Like their actual security team may have questions on more of like the logistical side of it, how we're going to do the pop-up or distribution. So that's sort of what was brought up in terms of security and logistics. I'm here to answer any questions as much as I can help, but the plan is definitely still unfolding right now. We're still in the midst of those conversations, but hoping to get them running to next week.
Thank you. Jessica, are you the point person that the press should contact? Because we've been getting some calls, at least as even today, from some of the newspapers asking specifically about our plans.
That would be our director, Mike, who's our marketing director. But if it's easier to, you know, connect through me, I can do that. I'm the point person for our federal agencies. But with SSA right now, I'm part of the planning conversation. So I can either connect with Mike. I believe our head strategy, Allison, is also connecting SSA with Mike for media purposes.
Okay. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. Are there any public comments on our state legislative update?
I have no speakers on item 2.
Thank you. Are there any public comments on non-agenda items today?
No speakers for public comment.
Thank you. So the PAL committee for October 27th is adjourned.